It's Great Mondays Radio, a podcast exploring how work is changing in the age of AI. I'm Josh Levine, a transformation executive helping private businesses elevate how their teams operate in an AI-driven world. On the show, I speak with executives, people leaders, and other humans rethinking how decisions get made, how managers lead, and how teams are learning to adapt. If you'd like to be a guest on our program, hang out for about 30 minutes, and I'll tell you how. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Great Mondays Radio. Special crossover episode here for not just Great Mondays Radio, but my other passion, which is learning so much about the job market and my personal new project, the Job Market Shit Show. I am talking today to Mac Pritchard, who is a recruitment and career expert. He is the founder of MaxList.org, his eponymous job board, niche job board, serving employers and job seekers in Oregon and Washington, my neck in the neighborhood, the Pacific Northwest. He's been doing it for 25 years, I think. And he has talked, he is not only expert, but he has a podcast where he talks to people who are experts at hiring and finding jobs. And I am super excited to have him on today. Mac, thanks for coming on Great Mondays Radio.
Well, thanks for having me, Josh. I'm excited for our conversation.
Okay. So I think a lot about there are some basic rules about looking for work and helping, you know, and hiring the right people. But we're in a moment now where there's a couple things that are happening that are driving what, again, I'm calling the shit show, but it's this change that's occurring. And it feels to me that that the employers have all of the power in this market. This is my hypothesis, so you can poke holes in it, and that and the candidates are having a really hard time even getting in because there's just not as many jobs. So we've got a supply demand imbalance, and we have an inability to really understand how we're being perceived in the market. And I wanted to start with what you are seeing as far as what's not changed and what has changed when we're thinking about this, you know, this moment in time. And we can blame it on AI or whatever it might be, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's all changed so much. What are you seeing that, you know, still applies, and what are you seeing that's changing really fundamentally?
Well, let's talk about what hasn't changed. And whatever the unemployment rate might be when you're listening or watching to this show, people are still getting hired every day. And the people who get hired, whether it's a job seeker's market or an employer's market, are the ones who pay attention to the fundamentals, Josh. So they can answer three questions. They know the job they want, they know the employers where they want to work, and they know what they offer. Now, and that hasn't changed. I'm of a certain age. I remember when I got out of college, people would get that book, What Color's Your Parachute?
Yep.
Classic. And everything I just said was in that book. And and the author would, I know, would give credit to others who came before him. So that hasn't changed. What has changed when we're recording this is it's an employer's job market again. And there was a brief period right after the pandemic in 21-22, when candidates were in the driver's seat. And that hadn't happened really since the 1990s. You know, I'm a baby boomer, so I have dim memories of the 60s and 70s. I came into the market in the 70s. And it was a candidate's market then. But really, for a long time, employers have been calling the shots. But even when that happens, the fundamentals matter. People still get hired, and the people who pay attention to the fundamentals are going to have an edge over their competitors.
Mm. Yeah, it does. I've talked to many people who are essentially go to LinkedIn, right? So LinkedIn is driving a lot of this conversation, and they've plugged in their keywords or they're looking for the jobs. And then they basically are saying, okay, yeah, that one looks good. But your advice is not just what kind of job, but which employer and what you offer. I feel like probably folks are probably, they're probably pretty clear on what they offer, but maybe not. Let's go through one of these. I'm just in real time thinking about one, two, and three. So, what kind of job I want? And you know, at the risk of just repeating what we've all heard, I think it's worth at least discussing for a second. Let's go through these things. So, number one, what kind of job, what job I'm looking for? Give me the, like, when you say that, what do you mean? I'm looking for a full-time something, something, something.
Okay, we're going to talk about things you shouldn't do, and I want to begin by saying I've done all of these things in my career. So these are natural mistakes, because jobs, looking for work is a skill, and like any skill, you got to study and practice it, and you want to do it throughout your career because odds are you're going to be in the workplace for 40 plus years, and you're going to change jobs 10 or 12 times. You may stay with a big organization like an Intel, for example, for a long time, but you're still moving up. So you want to get good at job search skills. But so the question is, what do you want to do? How many times have we had that conversation? And I gave this answer myself at different points in my career. You'd say to someone, I'm doing a job search. Let me know what if you hear of anything. And often people will say, well, oh, thanks for letting me know. What kind of job are you looking for? Well, I'm open to anything, or I'm keeping my options open. Again, I've said all these things. So I think people say that because they're uncertain, or they think it makes them a more attractive candidate to employers. And uncertainty is okay. It just means you need to invest time in figuring out what it is you want to do. And my career has been in communications. I ran a public relations firm for 15 years, but at the same time, I was running Maxlist for many years, and then before that, worked for government and nonprofits and elected officials. So, if somebody had asked me mid-career when I finally figured out how to answer that question, I would say, I'm looking for a communications position with local government here in Portland, Oregon, where I happen to be based. And I'm especially interested in working for agencies like Metro or the Bureau of Environmental Services, where that are doing land use planning. Now, that's a very specific answer, and it narrows the field. But we're going to talk about the advantages of that, which is the answer to question number two: where do you want to go, in a moment? Because and but often people think, if I'm so specific, I'm going to close the doors to other things. I might miss out on opportunities. And you're right, you will close the doors on other things. But when you're specific, you get crystal clear about what it is that you're good at. And that's going to make you more attractive to employers because you're going to be playing to your strengths and you're going to be able to solve their problems.
This is the same conundrum when I was working in brand and brand strategy, radical differentiation. And, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, we'll take any kind of client or we'll do any kind of work. And you, the more specific, it feels like you're closing doors. But in fact, when you're having that, when you give that specific answer in this job market, in this kind, what am I looking for? People can put you in a box in a good way. They can write you, oh yes, because otherwise you're like, I don't know, and they're like, okay, you know, but really it's
Let me
if
know
you,
when you figure it out.
yeah, exactly. Okay, so that's number one. Yeah,
And
go ahead.
again, I'm so glad you brought up the branding, because good brands attract offers and clients and employers, and they also repel people. Well, that's not what he or she offers, and that's okay
That's
because
what we want.
you mentioned LinkedIn, which is a fine site. You can go on LinkedIn today, you can find thousands of jobs you could do. But you need to focus on the jobs you're going to thrive in, because that's not only going to be good for you personally in your career, it's going to be good for the employer. And they're looking for people who are crystal clear about what they want to do next so that they can help them solve the organization's problems.
I guess what has changed is or how I would modify this is that now that we have access to all the jobs all the time, we need to get even more clear, even more specific. It is counterintuitive. And I think that's what I'm hearing here is like, yeah, you could be on LinkedIn all day long and be like, yeah, I could do that. Yeah, I could do that.
You
Yeah, I
could,
could do that.
yeah.
But you need to be more specific so that you can actually focus on the things that you really believe you have a shot at and would like to do.
Yes, and because you asked about what's changed, and we talked about the fact that it's an employer's market, there's more competition. The barriers to application are so much lower than they used to be,
Exactly.
and even in just the last few years with the creation of the Easy Apply button, it
The
is
scourge of the easy apply.
yes, and it's and you get tempted into thinking, well, if I just send out X number of applications, it's a numbers game. Eventually, it's like fishing, I'll get a bite. And you will, but here's the challenge. When you actually get that call back, odds are you've forgotten which company it was. You don't know much about them. And again,
Right, that's one
I
thing.
made these errors in a much more labor-intensive way early in my career. And then when you get in the interview room, you are going to be competing against people who know all about that organization, who know why they want to be there, and can talk knowledgeably about that organization's challenges and their experience in solving similar problems. If you're sending out, dozens or even hundreds of applications a month, you're just not going to have the time to create, to get that knowledge and to present yourself in that way.
Well, so that leads us to number two. So talk to me about like which companies. I mean, I think in my experience, you're like, oh, I think there's a few of these that, that I can follow on LinkedIn, or I can, make a create a Google alert, right? Of there's a few that I'm like really interested in, but wouldn't it be, unless it's a huge organization, are we hiring? I mean, isn't it just kind of a lark to be, okay, here are the three or four companies that I'm really interested in, but I don't know, are they hiring my very specific job, within the time frame of me looking for for that role?
Well, I would encourage people to have a list of maybe 20 or 25 organizations. And you and everybody, if I've talked to thousands of job seekers now, and if I ask people, where would you like to work? Sometimes they're reluctant to say because they think the dream is too tough, or they've got some dream employers. Again, I'm in Portland, Oregon, so if people are, Nike is a frequent dream employer. And so the reason you want to have those targets is so that you can, once you can answer the question, this is the job I want, you can tell people, and I'm especially interested in working at these organizations. You can have a top five, and then probably no more than two dozen employers on your list. And what you're doing, Josh, when you create this list is you're identifying the places that are offering the opportunities that you want, that have the culture that you want, and you need to go through a process. What kind of schedule do you want? What kind of commute? Do you want a hybrid? Do you want to work remotely? And as you start with your values and what matters to you, you figure out what your negotiables are and your non-negotiables. That'll help you narrow the list. And then when you do that, you can start. You obviously need to make sure they actually offer the opportunities you want. And then you can start building relationships with people inside that organization. And LinkedIn is great for this. It helps you find the people on the inside that you either are already connected with or you can get introductions to. And then when you begin talking with these folks, you want to draw them out about. You really do three things: introduce yourself and what your goals are. Second, figure out what's happening in that organization, what some common challenges are, and then find out if there might be some upcoming opportunities. And you're not asking for a job; you're just trying. This is the kind of organization where you want to work. You want to find out more about how it ticks and how hiring works there, and what's it like to have a career on the inside. Now that'll help you because when you will likely learn about upcoming jobs that may never be posted, but when they are posted, you can get a referral. And referrals matter so much in hiring because employers are trying to reduce risk. And one of the ways they do that is they give extra weight to connections that people have with others inside the organization. That won't get you the job, but it will make a difference in getting you an interview. Because everybody on this call who's watching or listening to the show has done their share of hiring. And we've all had that experience where we've got to reduce the number of applications from, you know, 100 or dozens to 10. And if somebody comes down the hall or sends a text or emails you and says, you should talk to Josh, that's going to get your resume pulled out of the stack. It might not get you the interview, but it will get you more than the typical 7-second review.
I
So
mean,
that's why you need to focus and have that target list of employers.
it's almost more important now
Oh,
because
yeah.
you're gonna because now you're competing against not just 12, 24, 36, you're really competing 100 hundreds of applications that go in and they're digital and they're so e it's so easy to apply. It's the signal is so low, right? The noise is really high and the
Right.
signal's low. So your point of we're looking to reduce risk, we're looking who here is not a bot? Raise your hand, right?
Right.
Who here is
Yeah.
not spam? So if it's
Right.
like, I actually know this person, then it's like, great, congratulations, you're flesh and blood, you have a heart, you have a heartbeat, and you happen to know somebody that thinks, you know, at least not terribly of you, right? So it feels really important. And I hadn't, to be honest, I hadn't heard the connect, right? I've heard networking, I've heard follow the company, but this idea of like of understanding what the company is and then actually making an effort to learn about the company by creating those relationships before you need them is kind of a no duh moment, but it's like I'm slamming my hip myself in the forehead. Like that's such a important piece of con like that connective tissue between those two bits.
Yeah, once you understand how hiring works, and again, I know that your audience is made up of people who've done their share of hiring, and if they reflect on it, and how they've made decisions when they're on a hiring committee or they've been the decision maker themselves, you understand the power of referrals and the need to reduce, especially in the last couple of years, the huge stack of applications to something that is manageable. And those personal connections, again, they're not going to get you the job or maybe even the interview, but they will get you a serious look. And if you're trying to go from 200 applications to 10, they'll probably get you in the door. So you can
Okay.
sell yourself.
So all right. So number three, what's my value to this organization or this role? Tell me about how you think about that. What does that mean and how do I figure that out?
Well, many people think that if you have the qualifications, the right number of years of experience and the credentials, these could be academic degrees or certifications, that's enough. That should get you the job. And that's not how hiring works. Those credentials will get you in the door. But everybody else in that interview pool of 10 or 15 for the phone screener, for example, has the same qualifications that you do. So what's going to make you stand out? Well, we talked about, you know, having when you're clear about the job you want, that certainty is going to shine through in the conversation. If you're clear about why you want to be at that employer, that's going to shine through in the conversation. It's probably and probably has led to connections that are going to help you. But the third thing is knowing what you offer. When you talk to people and you do that networking, those informational interviews, you need to learn about the company's problems, its challenges, so that you can show that you have the experience to solve those problems. And that's what you offer because employers hire problem solvers. And to understand, and some of this you can get online. You can go on the website, you can talk to people in your network, you know, what's happening over at this agency or that office. But there's no substitute for actually talking to people on the inside of the organization. So that's why, again, following steps one and two, knowing what you want, knowing where you want to go, will help you do the research that will make you stand out from your competitors when you're in the interview room.
Yeah, that's great. That's a really good insight. Okay, so let's move on from the fundamentals and what hasn't changed. So you have a podcast yourself called Dream Job. Is that right?
Find your dream job.
Find your dream job. And you talk to a lot of folks who are hiring experts. So what are some of the surprising or newer, it doesn't even have to be like tactic, right? It could just be like understanding concepts or, or possible tactics around what has changed, right? So let's get into the what's different part of the conversation.
Well, we talked about how the barriers to application have been greatly reduced, and it's easy now to generate hundreds of applications with only a little bit of effort. What has changed that I think helps job seekers is we now have so much information available to us about our networks, the people we have relationships with, and not only who we know, but who they know. And it's really a game changer, Josh, when you think of you reflect on the power of LinkedIn. If your dream employer is Nike and you don't know anybody there, you can go on LinkedIn though, and you can find people who know people at Nike, and that can help you get introductions that can get you inside the organization. And it's not just Nike. If you've gone to a community college or a university, there's an alumni database. And those databases always existed. 40 years ago, they were paper books that were out of date that they were printed. But you can find people who went to the same school as you did, who likely work at your target employers, and they can help you meet people and learn about the organization's needs. It's also, once you do that fundamental work, because of computers and email, it's so much easier, and telephones, it's so much easier and cheaper now to apply for jobs. But you've got to avoid the temptation of think of confusing quantity with quality. Sending out more applications is not going to make your life better. You got to do the hard work up front, but the tools to do that's what's different compared to 10 or 20 years ago, are so much more available and practically free.
And getting more freer by the day.
Yeah, but you got to have a strategy. The tools alone won't get you in the door.
What, why do you, so I, one of the rants that I recently did was about the platforms and LinkedIn and the big platforms, right? And why there's certain aspects of, we've talked about why they're useful and that, I think is really compelling. The network of LinkedIn is really compelling. But when you as an individual operator, someone early to this platform game, what is it that you can offer, or that a max list, even if there's, like you said, there are plenty of regional or niche platforms out there. What is, you don't have the technical sophistication, right, of a LinkedIn or a scope or scale of an Indeed, but what is the value of that, having a niche board like this? What are the values on both sides?
Yeah. Good job board is a community, and it exists both online and in real life. And LinkedIn is an enormous community. It does help people connect both employers and candidates, not only with each other, but within their respective worlds as well. So the advantage that we offer is a niche site, and there are tens of thousands of niche job boards around the world. You will get, if you're an employer advertising with us, fewer applications, but they'll be the right applications. We focus on professional positions in two states, Washington and Oregon, and we have a particular strengths in five industries: nonprofits, healthcare, technology, marketing and communications, and government. And if you're a candidate, you will see fewer jobs on our site, less than 1,000, but they are real jobs, and the odds are you likely know someone there or you're
Yeah.
familiar with them. So you're not going to, and I sometimes national global sites spend so much energy and resources fighting scam postings. They don't want them on their site, but they do get through, and the big sites work hard to get them off as soon as possible. But on a site like ours, it doesn't happen very often, and when it does, we notice right away.
Yeah.
So I think that's an advantage for candidates as well. What makes our site different, as well, is that we're in the community, so we do events and we bring together local employers and candidates, and all the principles that we've been talking about, that you need to have, and the job search skills that matter, we help people learn those through our events, through our career advice podcast, and through lots of information on our website.
Yeah.
Yes, we're a niche job board, but we're also a community of mission-driven professionals who are lo looking to hire each other or work for each other, and that makes us different.
Yeah, well, so I mean, happy to have you promote your site here
Sure. Yeah.
and but I think and what I'm gleaning here is or setting up is that I see more and more people are fleeing from the massive platforms, even if it's not about even if we're not talking about hiring. There the promise of the 90s, the late 90s was, the internet, you can get anything and talk to anyone. And now it's like, I don't want anything. I don't want anyone. I want my people. And there are more exclusive corners of the internet and exclusive corners of the world in real life that
Yeah.
actually are more valuable because they are limited. And we've already talked about that big problem up front is a gazillion jobs. I don't know. I get emails all the time from LinkedIn. Do I click? Rarely do I click on them, right? If I happen to have a second, and I don't know if it's going to be a thing. Like, and you're right. I think it's really interesting about we had an I did an episode on ghost jobs over on the Job Market Shit Show, and it's like that stuff is just out there, and you don't know. And so this kind of it's interesting to consider this looking explicitly looking for smaller sites, smaller communities that have this ability to be real. There's an inherent, what you've described is an inherent anti-bot, anti kind of AI scaling process that actually behooves, benefits both the poster and the job seeker. And I think that follows this bigger trend of, hey, I want smaller, not bigger.
And I think that niche sites, because they're communities, one of the things that we see happen, Josh, is people join these niche sites, ours and others, because they want to keep, they do reflect the communities that they're in, and they want to keep an eye on jobs that are opening and closing. They're not actually thinking about applying for jobs, but because these niche sites are part of someone's community, they subscribe just to see who's leaving and who's moving and so forth. So,
Oh, that's interesting.
yeah. And quick additional point. I think that niche sites reflect how hiring works, which is the power of referrals and word of mouth and
Yeah.
relationships.
Yeah.
And so, if you've we talked about my site, but there, whatever your profession, if you're a programmer, a marketer, a designer, a nurse, there's a probably one or two job boards devoted strictly to that job, that
Yeah.
profession. And advertisers, when they're hiring, they usually will post on a big national board like LinkedIn or Indeed. And then they'll post on a regional board like Matchlist. And then they look for these super specific niche sites that have a relatively small audience, but everybody who works in that occupation pays attention to it.
Yeah.
So, and I think for job seekers, it's important to, again, understand how hiring works, know what employers, how employers are promoting their jobs. So find out what those two or three sites might be when you're doing your informational interviews, but never, never underestimate the power of word of mouth. So that's why, again, it's important to know the job you want and the places where you want to work, because then you'll hear through employees and others, people who work there, that an opportunity is coming up, and that's going to help you stand out from your competitors.
Yeah. All right. As we wrap up, one kind of last question, and I'm going to ask you to take a big swing at this. If you squint at the horizon and you're looking at, you're sort of looking at what's happening on your site, you're observing, you're talking to folks, what do you think is coming down the pike? What are we going to see in 12 to 18 months when it comes to both, jobs, the job market? What are you currently starting to, have a thesis around or starting to see some signals around? And granted, it's not going to be a guarantee thing, but I want you to kind of go a little bit further than what you're 100% sure on. Let's go into the 25 to 50% sure on.
Well, I don't know if hiring is going to get, there's going to be more of it or less of it, but I do know this, that people will continue to get hired, and that the
Yeah.
people who will get offers are the ones who pay attention to the fundamentals that we talked about.
Mm.
And the one thing, whatever the state of the economy might be, that I would always encourage anyone to remember is this: don't wait to be picked. So too many people sit down on Monday to work on their job search, and they go on the computer and they look to see what's available, and then they send out the application. And again, I've done this myself early in my career. I get it, but it's not a good use of your time. Figure out what you want, where you want to go, and go out and start talking to people who have the job you want or work at the organizations where you want to be, and don't wait to be picked.
Yeah, and it's more important, even though it's perennial advice, it's more important than ever because of the supply constraints and those people who are going to be out there actually being proactive about their job search are going to be the ones that are going to have a higher, hit rate. And
Yeah.
that's just a fundamental physics problem, right? Like that's really what we're talking about.
Right. And I also want to return to a point you made a moment ago, which is the tremendous demand on our attention. There's so many distractions out there. So I feel confident in making this prediction in the next 12 to 18 months. The opportunities to get distracted, the number of new shiny objects that are going to be presented to us are going to continue to grow and grow and grow. And that's why I would encourage you to, if you've never heard it or heard of it or read it, go on Amazon or to your library, get What Color Is Your Parachute? Because the ideas in
The
there
ideas are the
still
same.
work. Yeah, it's an old paper book, but
All right.
yeah.
So don't sign up for the new AI site that's going to apply for you. That is the opposite of the Max approach, correct?
I would recommend against that. The easy apply button will work if you've decided you want to work at this organization, you've talked to people inside, and the job you want appears. And then you have the opportunity to use this technology to get what you want.
But you won't
But
see it. You won't see the job, right? Like the job isn't going to appear. You will not see that job appear if you haven't done that work,
right. If you, because
right?
you could, there are thousands of jobs out there. Maybe you'll get an alert. I don't know. But
Yeah.
that's when Easy Apply and these other technological changes are your friend, because in the past, in the dark days, 20 years ago, you would have to sit down, or 30 years ago, and type out a cover letter and print a
Yeah.
resume and fret about the paper.
Yeah.
Now
Fret
with
about the paper.
technology,
Exactly. We don't fret
yeah,
about the papers anymore.
you can get that application out in a handful of minutes, but it won't be effective unless you've done the homework about what it is you want and where you want to go,
Yeah.
and built the connections.
You can't shortcut, even with the easy apply button, you can't shortcut the first part. That first part is going to take as much time as it ever did, which is the research and the effort. And that
Yeah.
actually is good news. Right? That's good news that it's gonna take the effort to actually do it well because that'll distinguish you.
Well, if you understand how hiring works, you can use your time effectively and strategically. And I'll
Yeah.
just tell you this quick story. There was somebody who was on our podcast who got a job that she wanted. And she came to Oregon from Washington, D.C. She was a her spouse had gotten a job here, and she had a big job in D.C. She was Chuck Schumer's deputy communications director on Capitol Hill for many years. She didn't know anybody in Oregon, so she got here in January, and in June she got a job, and she got the position she wanted, which was working in corporate communications at Portland General Electric. And she spent those 6 months, Josh, going out and talking to people. And she had about 90 conversations. And I said, wow, that's a lot. But she said, here's what happened. I learned where I figured out the employers where I wanted to be, who was hiring, what those places were like, which ones to avoid, which ones were places to be. And I said, in the end, how many jobs did you interview for? She said, well, three, and I got offers on all three. And I meet people all the time who tell me they've spent 6 months sending out hundreds of applications, and often they get a job and they're happy with it, and that's okay. But here's the difference. This person built a network,
Yeah,
and that network is going to continue to serve
that's
her
right.
for years to come
That's right.
because she met all these people.
So great.
She introduced herself.
Yeah.
She got knowledge that she was able to use in those interviews that made her the standout candidate. And that's what she got to do. And I'm sure when it came time to apply for the position at PGE, she probably hit the easy apply button, and that's great because she didn't have to spend 3 hours putting together her application.
Yeah, but that's the
But
least of your worries, right? Like
you
that's the
got to do
least
your
of
homework first.
Wow, that's amazing. Mac, thank you so much. Some things you've said that I think dug up some old knowledge that I maybe had at some point, but definitely some new realizations for me, and hopefully our audience as well. This has been fantastic. Thank you so much. You can learn more about Mac Pritchard at maxlist.org, MACSLIST.org. You can also connect with him on LinkedIn, Pritchard, PRICHARD, the one and only. And your podcast again, Land Your Dream Job.
Find your dream job
Find
wherever
your
you get your
dream job is
podcasts.
what I meant to say. Find your
That's
dream
okay.
job. Sorry about that. Find your dream job. He has conversations all the time with amazing folks. So if you want more of
Every
this
week,
stuff, every
just
week,
one a week.
one a week, if you listen to one other podcast a week in addition to Great Mondays Radio, you should listen to that one. Thanks so much, Mac. It's been a pleasure, and we'll see you here in Portland in person sooner or later, I'm sure.
I look forward to it. Thank you for the opportunity, Josh.
Thanks, Mac. Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio. Hey, if you want to be a guest on our program, head over to radio.greatmondays.com and fill in the application. Have a friend you think would find this episode interesting? Send it to them. And while you're at it, rate and review. It really helps. I'd love to connect. Send me an email, josh@greatmondays.com. And if you're interested in learning more about how I help private businesses elevate how teams operate in an AI-driven world, check out greatmondays.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.